Halleluja. 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 Look to your neighbor and say, my friend, Yah shall speak to you. Hear what he speaks. Shalom. Yah Baraka, you may be seated. For this is the excellent day that Yah has granted unto Israel. Day that we come into the presence of our Abba. We unshod ourselves and we come before him naked. That's what the world has done in one of the most grandizing pagan feats that has ever been mastered by the mind of man. As every kind of vile spirit has come forth and seeded the hearts of the wicked, the Rasha, those that act with criminal intent against the Most High. When you know the imat, the truth, and you do not adhere to it, then you're guilty of trespassing the Torah, the law. It is as one goes out on the highway, it says 55, they're caught at 75. They know that they are guilty. And there are times that there are mercies applied by the officer. There are times that there is no mercy at all. Yah has shown this generation some of the most kindest mercies that one could ever ascertain. She is still rebellious and wicked. She is a vile world. And the seat or the head, the Roshi, the summit of her government proceeds out of this Jezanite, Babylonian, hellish, wicked nation that is called the United Wicked of America. Because that is what she constitutes. In this most grandizing pagan activity that has been performed here in the past month or so, they began to open up their hearts to the spirits. I was reading an article the other day that this is one of the times of the year that sexual promiscuity is rampant. Why would they write that? What is the importance of that? Yet at this thing we call Xmas, the pagan ritualism of solidifying the throne of Shaitan, and the deception of lies, delusions that are full of illusions. And they have exalted one of the most hideous, wicked things upon the face of the earth to a zenith of power and strength that even we as Israel, we are afraid to offend it. Damn their Christmas, damn their gods, and damn their God. I speak it that way. I will not apologize to hell with their damned, wicked Christmas. And their Christo, I exalt the Hamashiach of Yah, Yoshua. This is the time of the year whereby there is such robbery, such stealing, and taking advantage of the simple and those that are full with folly. There's a reason why. We must understand that within the birth of Babel, she is the mother upon her forehead, upon her rashi. The summit of her power is that out of her mind she clothed her children with harlotry, idolatry, idol worship, and every kind of pagan format of spirituality that can be conceived in the wicked mind of man. For she is the holding place of every vile spirit that rose up against Yah. And those that are in the world, they have a way of participating through the subtlety of their own wickedness. And you know that that is a zira, a seed of hell. Was he not the most subtle creature in the garden? So they are subtle in their approach. You are wicked. You are children of darkness. And you shall awaken not from your dark state. For a man hears the truth. When one knows what is right, and they transgress the truth by trotting underfoot the dumb, the blood of Yeshua, despising the authenticity of power of Torah, then there is no offering. There is no mercy from Yah. He will not adhere to their abominable cries, for their prayers are an abomination unto Yah. And the reason why, because they have been birthed, their mind, the minds of this generation, and what great minds they suppose presumptuously that this nation possess. Yet she is in a chaotic mess. Her wealth is a false delusion that is filled with illusions. It is false. It is not real Israel. It has no value at all. It is simply voluptuous. It is voluptuous to that mindset that is not of Yah. And when that mind is birthed by the spirit of hell, by the aura Shotan, you will find that that mind is one of covetousness. And so things are as in the covetous state. Everything is voluptuous. It is pleasurable to the sensuality of the appeal of the eyes. That is why when a man looks at a woman, he doesn't know her character. He knows nothing about her personality. They will say she is voluptuous. There is a sensual pleasure in their minds that they take when they look at someone of that nature. But it is not voluptuous. It is not a pleasure unto Yah. We saw here one of the most grandizing days to elevate the powers of hell, to give solidity to the throne of Shotan. Let me tell you, Israel, in the honky-tonks, they threw their Xmas parties. In the brothel houses of Horem, they gave their clientele gifts. In the racist and most hatred environments, they celebrate Xmas. They celebrate the birth of darkness and hell in their minds by the God of this world. He is the God of this world. Yah has given him rain for the season, because there is a people that rejects the order of his Mishra, his government, and they despise the life of his Torah, Yeshua. I warn you all, when the wicked, even when the days pass, and don't think your kinsmen will not do that, send you gifts through their subtle wickedness. You burn it in the damn fire of hell. You receive it, damnation to you. You reject Yah. And that's just a fact. For some reason, we think that Yah is some kind of a cuddly cat or kitten. But he is not of that nature. He is a terrifying one. And he means what he says. That's why he says what he means. It is simply that man, through his corruption, trained by this Bavel mind of Horem, for upon her Rashi, her forehead, in the summit of the pinnacle of her thought process, there is a spirit of idolatry. It is idolatry. It is idol worship. It is God worship. It is pagan worship. That's what it is. Well, what is all of that, preacher? one can classify your practice or your activities as pagan. It's one thing about the true worship of Yah. It does not give any sensualization or give any sense of command to the flesh. But you get this euphoric that it is you. No, it is Yah. It is the Most High. And so during their celebration and their pagan festivity, they give gifts, don't they? The scripture tells us that the wicked, the Rasha, pulls a gift out of their bosom to pervert, to hinder the Mishpatim, judgment. And so when they give you their damnable gifts that damn you, you don't have to say no. We're in the store and one said to us, "Are you prepared for Christmas?" I said, "I don't go that way. I don't mess with the thing." And her whole countenance, her attitude changed. A man said to me yesterday, "I'm glad that Christmas is over." I said, "I don't mess with it." I could sense the anger and the hostility in this dog of hell. I said, "I don't mess with it. And I don't mess with their damn pagan days." And you don't be ashamed when they say that. You say, "I'm ready." Like, hell no, I'm not ready for the pagan damn dog day. I'm not afraid to say it. It's the day that has got to damn many into the gutters of hell and darkness. For they have rejected the feast days, the Mishra, the Modims of Yah. Yet they take great delight in these pagan practices that are birthed out of the belly of Bethel. For she is the cage and the holding place of every kind of unclean bird. And the scripture identifies the birds. It identifies the birds. It identifies it. We don't have time for the word of Yah. We have time for the word of God. And that is the God of our bellies that speaks. He speaks unto us lies. She speaks unto you frivolity. But we got time for the God. But we have no time for Yah. We have no time. We don't delight in Yah. But we take delight in our God. Corruption that flows from the belly of Israel. It is one of stench. It is vile. Yah says, as the Melech cried out. And the thing that amazed me is the kind of terminology that scripture used. He cried out with a gadol, a great, mighty voice. That doesn't even register in the consciousness of man. With a mighty voice. It was so great. It was so profound. That only one that is in the Ruach could hear what the Melech, the messenger of Yah, spoke unto the assemblies of Israel. That's the only way you could hear. And that's why many cannot hear today, because they do not have the Ruach of Yah. They do not have the Spirit of Yah. They do not hear what Yah is speaking. They cannot hear the voice of Yahshua. They don't hear Israel. They cannot hear. He has given them ears to hear, but they cannot hear. He's given them eyes to see, but they cannot see. And so the only way you're going to be able to comprehend, to even listen to that voice, you must be in the Ruach of Yah. You must be in the Spirit. You must be. And Yochanan was in the Ruach of Yah on that day. On the day of Yah. He was in the day. Why? Because he was there to hear the specifics of Almighty Yah. That's why on the Shabbat we should bring no burdens in. We should not care about our bellies. We should not care about time. We come to hear from the Melech, the messenger that's sent by Yah to speak unto Israel. That's what we come to do. It is a time of rest. We may have the Shabbat of Yah. Hallelujah. That's what it's for, that we may come and hear the message, the Mizrach of Yah, the message that entails His truth. Yet we have no time for that. And so the Melech spoke in a way that was so profound, we just bypass the expression of how He spoke, because we are drunken people. We are people that's inebriated. The people of Yah, it's sad. We are drunk. And a drunk man has no strength. Drunk man can whip everybody and can whip nobody. A drunk man is the toughest man and he's the foolish man. He speaks from the power of the Spirit that dwells in him. We don't speak from the power of the Spirit that dwells within us. We don't speak by the power of the word of Yah. We speak by the Spirit of our God, the God of our lust, our belly, our covetous greed, our lies, our corn corrupt in Yisrael. We must be strengthened for the hour that is ahead of us. You're not going to get strengthened without getting conditioned. You must condition yourself. Man cannot go out and run a marathon. He conditions himself for a marathon. He start off with walking and maybe get a mile and two until he can run five or eight. We're not conditioned for the race that is ahead of us. We're not ready to run. We that run this race, we can't walk this race. We must run this race. We are procrastinating. There are things that are hindering us, and I'm going to show us according to Scripture. The thing that hinders you more than anything, no, it's not someone else. This juvenile nature that we want to blame someone else. It's not someone else. There's nothing that lies within you. And whatever lies within you, in you, if it's the integrity of Yah's imata, that all that lies within you, and you can put on what Yah commands you to put on. We put it on, but it's wrong. It's not right. Our garments are not right. We're not clothed right. And there's a reason we're not clothed right. Yokahan said, I saw this great Jezebel. And upon her, Rashi, her forehead, the summit of her strength. That's what he saw, Yisrael. He saw that above all things. He saw written upon her forehead, Bavel, she was great, or mystery, Babylon. She was called the Gadol. She is called the Ima of the mother of harlots. There's only one harlot that Yah saves, and that is the harlot who the promise is given unto, as it was with Rahab. The scripture identifies her as a harlot. She was a harlot. That's what she was. And that's the only harlot Yah saves. And it's one thing that a harlot does. When you find a true harlot, she is confidential about her clientele. She is not going to divulge that. She holds their secrets until they die. And that is what we as Israel, because the secrets of Yah, they reveal unto the bosom of Israel. The mysteries of Yah are made known unto Israel. So upon her roshi, her forehead, what's written in the pinnacle of our minds? What's there? Why is it there? Why is that? We have on a garment, but it's not Yah's. And I'm going to identify that garment because it comes from Bavel. Our minds are clothed, but it's not clothed with the Torah of Yah. Our hearts are clothed, but it's not clothed with the Torah of Yah. It is not. And the scripture tells us the rewards of the clothing of one in the Babylonian garments. And that is the first thing that we see, because scripture gives us example and it shows us what's in the very mindset, the thought of man. It is corrupt. It has been birthed by a deception, delusion, and lies. And that is why we're in such a delusionary state of mind today. That's why. And in that delusionary state of mind, we allow the illusions to come in and deceive us. And once we are deceived, we began to walk after the order of Bavel. I want to begin here in Scripture. It says in the book of Thessalonica, 2nd, in the Brit Hadassah, I'll get back to my statement or the verse that I use from Gileana. But I want you to understand this, Yisrael. There's a reason why we are given unto the false practices of Bavel. That is why we are so sensitized to these pagan forms of worship that we have grown accustomed to. It gives and it promotes fleshly desire, purpose, and will. And that's what all the pagan days do. Whether it is Valentine's, whether it's Christmas, whether it's Thanksgiving, that's all it promotes, this grotesque lust of flesh. They eat like dogs. The tables are set for pigs. The hand, I will not sit at the damn table of the wicked and eat the damn Christmas dinners that damns me and cause death to permeate in me. I don't give a damn if it's grandmammy, grandpappy, whomever. I was talking to one from Delaware the other day, and I said to the brother, I'm getting older, brother, so it really doesn't make any difference what people think or how they feel toward me. It really doesn't. It doesn't make me any difference at all. And he replied this way. He said, I believe that because I can sense it and tell it in your delivery as to what you say and how you say it. So I am not apologetic. I will not apologize. We're dealing with our nefesh, the life of breath in us. You can reject it or you can accept it. It's in your hands, whether you receive it or not. So to sit down at the table of the wicked and eat their fried chicken and enjoy their voluptuous things that are sensually pleasant to the eyes, and you gorge your damn greedy belly and think that it is just a small act, you are a flat out fool. It is full of wickedness. You are poisoning your own being. You are causing death to permeate. I don't care if it's the birthday shing-a-ding. I don't care if it's the mama's day shing-a-ding. I don't care if it's the daddy's day shing-a-ding. It makes no difference at all. We must come out at the summit of Bethel. You must come out of a summit. You must come out. And the summit is the where one ascends to the pinnacle. And the pinnacle of our strength is in the bosom of the Lord today. And it flourishes. The Roshi, the head, the mind of man. There's a way that she has made her inroads. And Jauz speaking unto Thessalonica, he speaks to them with great warning. In 2 Thessalonica, chapter 2 and verse 11. Chapter 2, verse 11. 2 Thessalonica. As Shaul speaks unto the false practices, and they have proceeded out of the belly of Babel, we must understand Babel, it is the concept of darkness to distort, to deceive, and to confuse the minds of the subjects. And that is what happened when they began to build the Tower of Babel. The minds, the consciousness, the thoughts were confused. Yah is not the author of confusion. We are confused because we are under the spirit of Babel. That is why scripture says that Yokohan said she was great. Use the same expression as unto Yah Gadol. Her strength was without measure. Her beauty was so captivated. It captivated the minds of those that looked upon her. Her process of intelligentsia was superb to many. For her gardens and her buildings, they were fantastic and phenomenal buildings. Where do you find that? Tell me where. Her architectural design, her landscape, that nations and people marvel at her. Her dress, her fashions were so voluptuous, so desirous of the flesh, that even the poor one would sell their last farthings to make sure that they could buy her garments. And that's what we are doing. We're sending our sons and our daughters to her places of destruction and corruption. We're giving them over to her hand to corrupt our sons and our daughters. And this wicked generation say they love Yah and they don't love Yah. There's only one thing your sons and your daughters If you instruct them, even you that homeschool that listen to me, you teach them how to read, write, and do arithmetic. You will be amazed at their power to excel in anything. If they can read with an ability to comprehend, to understand, to be critical, understand the purpose of the text, reading, writing, and arithmetic, then you will have a superb intellectual child as far as in the skills of this hour. That's all. Because they will be so captivated with reading, they will read almost anything, and they can understand that which is of validity and truth, and that which has no substance or bearing upon them. There were times whereby when Kephar, they brought all their curious arts and they threw them away. And so we have everything today to make us curious. We have the internet and books and magazines and everything to make our minds curious. But why is it that this book doesn't make our minds curious? Why we're not curious as to what it says? We could read every damn false story, every kind of damn wicked show we can watch. You tell me you're spiritual, you're a liar. You're not spiritual. But what is spiritual, they judge. You will judge your mind, your heart. You will judge yourself. And you will not have to be judged of someone. You will know when you're wrong. You will not justify your juvenile wicked ways. This is what this nation does. It bombs the hell out of a nation and justifies it. It keeps men down here in Guantanamo Bay. They have nowhere to send them, and they're guilty of nothing. Guilty of nothing. Hallelujah. They imprison them. They put them in prison. They captivate them. They thrust them in the ghettos. They put them in conditions that are unlivable, and they justify everything. Where they must pull themselves up out of the boots. Where hell, how does one pull themselves up out of the boots where they have no boots? How does one feed themselves when this damn wicked nation has taken every seed that Yah put in the earth? And this damn, like Jeremiah Wright said, you were right, let their God be damn, and their own God damn it. Yah damn this whore. I'm not taking the back pedal. They can send the FBI out here. I will tell them the same thing. Put me in jail. There's nothing they can do. Yah's going to damn this Jezebel. These wicked dogs, these rich dogs out of hell. How they've taken every seed. I was reading the other day as I received my magazine from Baker Seeds, because I order, we get the heirloom seeds. And this young man, you can sense his sensitivity. He loves what he's doing. He believes in guarding the earth and the things that Yah has given to us to feed us. And yet you cannot find almost, he said, he has done extensive tests upon all seeds. And very few today are not pollinated with this GMO, this genetically modified organism. They take the organisms out of humans, out of dogs, out of cats. And we wonder why our minds are twisted as hell. You feed the mind dog meat, what you think is going to happen? You began to incorporate the kind of cellular structure in the mind. What dogs or the mindset of dogs, they're dumbing us down to dumb dogs and making us foolish, Israel. He says it's almost impossible to find it. Seeds that are not genetically modified by this wicked corporation, by her rich lobbying, by Monsanto, that they literally own the seeds that Yah gave. You tell me that's not a wickedness that proceeds out of the belly of a wicked nation? And if they come to your little plot and find those modified seeds there, they take you to court and take your land in this damned United States of America, a vile government, give a right to do that? And these damn dogs, the politicians, the Obamas, the Bush, these greedy dogs. Hey, let me say this to you. This Obama raised almost $1 billion. You can say what you want to. You Negroes can jump up and down because he got some brown skin. The hell with his brown skin. You white folks can lay hands on him because his mammy was white. The hell with that. He doesn't give a damn about you whether you believe that or not. You don't raise $1 billion. Who had heard of an Obama? Tell me the truth. No one. And out of darkness this man raises up by the powers of hell. He stands upon the summits and he captivates the minds of the world and the nations. The world was captivated with this man. The whole world, come on, Israel. Yokohan said, I looked at her and I marveled at her power. He looked at Babel. For out of Babel has proceeded this Zerah, the seed of death and destruction. And these dogs, Israel, they're not going to speak for you. Yeshua is who speaks for us. We must be in the bosom of Yah. It is time that we get naked. And there are places in scripture whereby even in the offering of jealousy, when a woman, her husband, the scripture says she will go before the Kohan and she will strip naked. She will take off all of her covering to see if there be a cursed thing in her. He will give her something to drink if her belly is swollen. Then you knew that that spirit was still in us. And so when Yah gives us this pleasurable water to drink, and our minds and our bellies swell up, we get an attitude. We get angry because he tells you, little Hoa's daughter, the little Jezebel, walking in her vile, wicked ways. You protect her in your damn wicked mind. You know you swell up because there is an accursed thing in you. When you get feelings because your grandmama had the chitlin strut and you were there, and because you didn't eat chitlin, you ate the fried chicken among their pagan activities, and your wicked head swell up, your belly swell up because you are wicked. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to alter one thing. You don't hear me? I'm running for my life. Hallelujah. This race is not given to the swift nor to the strong. That was one evangelist Horn's favorite scripture. No, it isn't. But he that endure. You say, I'm an enduring. I'm a fighter. You understand? A warrior, he always claims victory because he endures. And so he watches the eyes of a man. He watches his ability. He sees his weaknesses. He sees where he's letting down the guard here, whereby he has no strength, where his mind is so easily to be captivated, whereby he cannot handle any kind of stress. Hallelujah. So I'm a warrior. This nation is wicked. So they take these modified seeds and this one wicked corporation own the patents. How do you patent a seed? Yah gave that to the earth. He gave that to us to grow and to eat. How do you do that? Because Babel has always tried to alter the concepts, the order, the statutes of Yah. That is why our minds are always trying to change the Torah and trying to make amendments as to, well, I don't see where that's wrong. Well, it's wrong. It's not right. The Torah says it's wrong. And it's not right. And so this wicked empire that sits at the summit of the food chain, she eats more food, she's more greedy, she wastes more food than any nations. We're the most grotesque, we are the fattest, overweight, most unhealthiest, what we call industrialized nation in the world. Because you're not going to sow a seed and it doesn't come back on your children. Whatever seed you sow is coming back. So that's why we, Israel, we must get out of Babel. We must get out of her mindset. We must quit dressing ourselves like Babel. We must quit dressing ourselves in her traditions. Because in her traditions, we make void the word of Yah. Well, this is the family tradition. Your family tradition is going to burn in the gates of hell. So shall you. Your traditions don't make nothing. The only thing they do is make void the word of Yah. Well, this is our family tradition. It's not according to the teachings of the Torah of Yah. When we gather 2 days before Christmas, it's wicked as hell. We should not participate in anything that gives any indication that we are part of these damn activities. These are offering sacrifices unto the gods, and you don't eat because if you eat, you eat damnation upon yourself. You don't have to buy it. It's still the truth. Yah's not sparing us. He's trying to get us in the bathtub. We're just like youngins. You tell me your mothers, when you put those youngins in tubs, come on, you mothers. They're raised children. That's the one thing they didn't like doing, taking a bath. They didn't mind playing, but they don't like taking a bath. They get to crying. And that's where we are. We don't want to be washing the pure water. We get to crying. Mama, get back down the back part to wash all of that and clean that out. You had enough back there to grow seed back there. You don't want that. And that's what y'all's doing, cleaning this putrefied stench. Our bowels are filled with the garbage and the stench of hell. We don't even know we stink. We think we smell wonderful because we have perfumed ourselves with the odorous odors of Bethel. Speaking to our mind lies and deception. There's a reason why we speak to ourselves that way. Yeah. It's almost looking at ourselves not taking a true inventory. You know, Lohanna said to me, "You don't look your age, Pastor Roberts." I retorted to her, "What do you know what my age looked like? Tell me. You don't even know what my age looked like." She doesn't know what it looks like. So how can she tell me? So shall I revel in that? She was just a little child. What she was saying to me that, "Pastor Roberts, I love you with your tenderness." That was her way of saying to me. Her tenderness, that's all she was saying. Because I know what my age looks like. And I know what I look like at my age. Because when I unclothe myself, then my buttocks, when I see the dimple-ish holes and craters, I realize what I am. Hallelujah. We just don't want to be forthright with ourselves like that. That ain't bad. No, you look a mess there. You look at that thing back there, it look a mess. It's dipperish. It's full of cradles and holes. Your gut hangs over. You look a mess. I'm just that forthright that I'm ashamed. I don't even want to look at it. We need to look in the mirror and see the filthiness. We become ashamed of it. Honey, you can put on high heels that high, acting like a silly fruitcake. That don't mean you're fine or nothing. You're not devious. You don't even know what a devious is. It's a goddess, all right? You're a goddess? That's what the word diva means. Trying to look devious. They dress you like fools, daughters of this to Zion. You ought to dress kadosh. Hallelujah. You trying to get attraction to you? I'm a man, 53 years old. If I was looking for a woman, there would be certain things that would turn me off immediately. Fall out. You know, I understand that my buttocks is a big old flat thing. That's the truth. So I don't want to wear anything that accentuates that. So I want to cover myself. So I have to wear big baggy pants because my thighs are big. I'm saying this. I want to give you an understanding. So you daughters of Zion, you got a big flat butt. Then why would you wear something that's all tight on it? So should you think that you're rousing someone? Come on, you look a mess. You look a mess. What's something that's full like granite with the pleated and the skirts that flows? Come on, so that it doesn't accent your hips. Yeah. Your butt and your back up here like mine, come on, it's flat, it's dipperish, it looks a mess. Yeah. I've shown us this in the natural to show how corrupt we are spiritually. You overweight daughters on man, come on, don't wear nothing tight to make you look like a fool. Loosen it up. You're kidding yourself, you wear 14, you wear 20. Hallelujah. 18 a little too tight, 20 fits you nice. And so you mesmerize yourself, makes it think you make yourself think that you wear that, it makes you small. It doesn't make you small. You're still big. You're still big, man. Now you wear 30 in the waist and the belt hanging down here below and that hanging up. No. Pull it up. You know what you wear. Come on, we don't want to hear that. And that's the reason why. I'm going to move. That's all right. I'm going to touch Israel. I'm going to touch Yah's people. Whether they love me or not, it makes no difference. Hallelujah. As they say, I've been hated on. That's all right by me. I'm not emotional when it comes to that. If it's 10 of us in here, I'm not emotional because there's not 50 or 60 or 100, 200. I'm not emotional that way. That doesn't captivate me. It doesn't trouble me if there's 20 or 10. I'm not troubled by that. You may be, but I am not. If there are only 15 people live here, I'm not troubled by that. You may be troubled, but I'm not troubled by it. It doesn't trouble me one bit at all. Not one iota at all. One leaves, it doesn't captivate me that with their leaving, that doesn't bother me one bit. It only bothers you, but it doesn't bother me. Well, what if your wife left? If she left, she's left. I'm going to stand the will of Yah. And if she has the Ruach of Yah, then she's going to reverence what the man of Yah says. That's what the scripture tells her to reverence. I mean, if you look up the authenticity of the word reverence, it means to yare. It means her to be afraid, to fear me. These Jezebels said they don't fear the husband. They talk like dogs and fools to them. That's a damn foolish Jezebel. And these stupid men have no power to love. Why? Because if they love their wives, then they will set the order of Yahweh in their house. That's right. Everything. And you will see when you walk in. It's just not the woman. It's these jackass, ignorant men that are weak and chumpified and boyish. They have not the spirit of Yah. They have somebody laying in bed, perform their little ritual every now and then. That doesn't mean nothing. That doesn't carry no weight. Hallelujah. Well, no strength of Yah in their home, no power of his will there. He's just as weak and whippish as they come. House nasty as hell. No spirit of Yah there. And you mothers of Tzion, it's your place. You go to a daughter's house, the house is nasty. You tell the cow, get off your lazy ass and clean it up. You sluttish, wicked thing. That's how you say it. You speak with a rude tongue. Y'all sure spoke with a rude tongue. You tell the heifer, get up. She's not even a heifer. Because a heifer will make sure that the mat that the calf laid out on is cleaned. Even a dog would do that. Dog doesn't defecate in the house. You will never find them dogs defecating in the house. They go outside. Even in their dungeons, they don't defecate there. We're so wicked. Hallelujah. The reason we can't do it because we find things that are unclean in us. And we don't want to eradicate it. If I find something foreign in me, the first thing I do is eradicate it. Hallelujah. I love Israel. You may not love Israel, but I do. I love Israel. It is the truth of Yah that makes us free. Hallelujah. That's what makes us free. We're not free unless we get the truth. Hallelujah. Shaul says in 2 Thessalonica, chapter 2, verse 11. Yah says, this is the reason for this cause. Yahweh shall send them strong delusion. You tell me that Yah is going to send this kind of delusionary deception among people. He's talking to the Thessalonians. He's talking to those that call themselves Israelites. He said, for this cause, he shall send them strong delusion that they shall believe a lie. You believe the Christmas lie? You believe in the pagan rituals of America? They're lies. And they're believing a lie. They believe in the lie. They're false Jesus. And they're false Christo. It's wrong, Israel. The name is wrong. And so with the name comes the association, the imagery, and the falsehood. So that's why we got these faggot pictures and things that hang it up, and these false images everywhere. That's why it has arisen. We must know the truth. So because of that, Yah sent them delusions of lies. He sent them strong, not just any kind of delusion, but he sent them strong. He shall send them strong delusions. Do you hear that? Do you understand what a strong delusion is? It has the power to captivate you that you can't even believe the truth. He sent in a strong delusion. Is this nation under delusion? It bombs the hell out of Iraq, finds no weapon of mass destruction, but they say it was an excellent thing to remove Saddam. Lies. It is not. It has robbed this nation and the nations have robbed and wreaked havoc on the coastal plains of Africa and throughout that continent. And now the pirates are robbing the hell out of them. And now they're sitting in their ships. And it's one thing Mr. Obama is going to do. He's going to drop the bombs over there. You understand? We're going to find out how cowardly this man is. He's a cowardly man. You understand? I will say this, irregardless to who it affects, whether it's a white man or black man or brown man or Jewish man, it makes no difference to me. It is amazing that if you listen, we don't listen. I hear what people say during that false election. They will say that, well, the white people voted for Mr. Obama. Well, hell, Negroes have voted for white men all their lives. Well, is that never brought up? It's how they train the minds of this nation. They interject falsehood and deception to create an imbalance, to create hatred and wars among those that don't even know what they're doing. That's what they said. The white people. He won because of the white people. Well, then all white people win because the Negroes vote for them then. This is a wicked world. So they dropped the bomb on Iraq and said she had weapons. And the people bought that lie. And they say, well, it still was excellent. When babies are in orphans, mothers are burned to death, we're going to pay America. We got to come out of this sneakish whore. She's a pit viper. We got to come out of her logic, her thinking, her way of doing things, her capitalist system. We are in this nation, but we should not be of it. We should not practice her ways and her thoughts and train our children like she trains her children. You train them differently. You bring them out of her. Hallelujah. Bring them among the daughters of Zion. That's what you do. The scripture even tells you it's not excellent for man to be alone. Wicked folks think you're spiritual. You're not. Because if you were, you were. The scripture says that, behold how excellent, how pleasant it is. We have the head fellowshipping the man. Then when the daughters of Zion fellowship is a great thing. You understand? For brethren to dwell, to dwell together. Hallelujah. You're so damn polluted in your concepts. You can't realize how wrong you are. I don't take it back. I'd rather have someone to tell me the truth than to tell me a lie. I hate liars, and the liars I hate. I try to tell things exactly the way it's told to me, or try to retain them. That's just the way I am. I may not know it exactly. I say, well, he said between this and that. I don't recall. And I let people know that. But to just be a liar, shekah, a deceiver, I hate that. I hate it. You lie about small things. You lie about anything. And that's what this nation does. She's a liar. Yeah. Your children lie. You lie. Yeah. You're part of the deception. Yeah. That's the reason why. Well, I'm going to finish this whether you walk out or not. It makes me no difference. Yeah. Whether you that are listening turn off your radio, it makes no difference at all. Hallelujah. Yeah. There are those that will be listening. Bless you, that Sister Oprah, and there in Maryland. May the riches of Yah rest upon you. Hallelujah. Bless you, my sister. Hallelujah. Old as she is, she does all of her lawning. She makes her clothes. She grow gardens. She keep herself busy. That's what she does. This wicked world has taught you to be lazy as hell, to do nothing. And our bodies have just become the cage and stronghold of every kind of disease and sickness. We don't even know how to sweat today. Some folks can't even sweat. The pores are so clogged and so putrefied with stench. You can't even sweat. So after sweating, you get unnerved. Your bodies are not even purged. Hallelujah. I don't make many friends, but that's all right. I have a friend, Yeshua. Yah says, I'm going to send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. This false Messiah, this false order. And that's what this, they said that, quote, Jesus is the reason for the season, unquote. Is that not the answer? Were they not trying, even Pope Bennett said he was bringing, quote, Jesus back into the picture this year, unquote. Is that not right? Because the economy is bad, and they said then, quote, Jesus would be back in the pictures of Xmas, unquote. That is what they're saying. This economy is going down to the gutters of hell, Yisrael. You cannot hope in this. I hope it's in Yeshua. Your dollars are not going to mean one thing, you know. You go to cast them into the street, your gold, your silver. It has no power at all. Hallelujah. They're losing billions. And they're broke, even with billions. They're still trying to get more. I want more of Yeshua and more of the truth of Yah. Yah says that they all might be damned who believe not the Torah, the truth, but had pleasure. They had pleasure in unrighteousness. Do you all hear that, Israel? Any time we take pleasure in unrighteousness, and that is what Babel evoked. That is what comes out of the mind of Babel, and I will show us in scripture. And I will show us there must be a change of garment that we must be changed. We must be changed now, not tomorrow. For the garments we have on, they're filthy. And they're not garments of cleanliness. He said, and they have pleasure in unrighteousness. They have pleasure in things that defy the Torah of Yah. They take delight in lies and unscrupulous lifestyles that are just wicked. That's what this nation takes pleasure in. They're going to take pleasure today. Daddies and mamas will give their children over unto the powers of hell and take pleasure in the accomplishment of frivolity and things that are foolish that their sons and their daughters are a part of. But they will not instruct them in the Torah of Yah. They will not. They will not teach them the principles of Yah. Or they get happy the boy scored 3 points in basketball. Ah, how stupid that is. How foolish as hell that's sick. Boy goes out and get his kneecap busted up. He was a valiant warrior. He was a fool. That's what he was. So the images today that Babel creates, there's a power. It creates the images in our minds and it controls the summit of our thoughts. That's what it does. It controls the summit. Your mind can't even concentrate on Yah in the midst of his bayats. We can't even keep our thoughts strained toward him. You know something is wrong, Israel. There's something that is drastically wrong. There's something that is chaotically wrong in us and among us. There's something wrong. And there's a reason why. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The scripture tells us in Yeshaya Isaiah, Yah says, I'm going to send strong delusions that they may believe a lie because they take pleasure in unrighteousness. They have no desire in truth. And Yah says to us that we as the elect and the assembly in Yeshaya Isaiah 61 and verse 10, that there should be a praise, a concentra of praises unto Yah for the mercies that he shower upon us. And you will understand that if you read verse 1 through verse 9, I'm simply because of to expedite time and to get to the point, I am simply going to read verse 10, but that is the gut or the gist of what the Nobi is speaking unto Israel. He says, I will greatly rejoice in Yahweh, my nephesh, my being, my breath. You see how he rejoices? He greatly rejoices. Not just rejoice, there's a euphoric to his rejoicing. We said before Yah, there's no great rejoicing. There is an action that is based upon a set dialogue, and we do it according to strip. That's why we can't sing outside of the realm of how we've been trained. That's why we cannot move outside of the paradigm of how we've been trained. But he said, I will greatly, as David did. David, it says that for Michael, he was just naked. He shouted and he danced. It was not scripted that way. That was not the order of the Melach. That was not the way to do it. So we don't greatly rejoice for his mercies. We can lie to ourselves and say we do. We don't greatly rejoice. But one greatly rejoice that is one of uncontrollable. Look at all of Yah, it is beyond measure. That anyone captivates others. We don't do that. We got to get back to the primary things. We have missed out on the primary things, and it's the reason why you throw because of our minds. Our minds have been clothed, but it's not the clothing of Yah. That's the reason our minds are clothed the way they are. He said, I will greatly rejoice. He said, my nephesh, and that soul, it is breath in more than something that is invisible. Yeshaya 61:10. He said, the life in me will rejoice, my breath, the way I breathe. It's almost like someone winning the race where they're breathing. Yeah. Woo! You can see the animation in every extremity of them. There's no animation for Yah. There's no liveliness in us at all. None whatsoever. The only thing that makes us move is a little singing. And that doesn't make a room. It's just for the moment we understand the order. And then we stop. Praise Yah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. That's how it is. We're not real with ourselves. We're phony, we're fakies. That's why you can't be real with each other. Yeah. We should be able to see the light of Yahshua in each other. Hallelujah. You fake as hell, it's not your neighbor, it's you that's faking. Yeah. You know, if my wife comes to me and say with this or that or this, I say, no, it's not what lies in that one, it's what's in you. Yeah. I'm not concerned with that. Yeah. Say, get out of my face, hypocrite. Hallelujah. Do I talk like that? Hallelujah. Because I love my wife, you cowards. I don't care if Deacon Horn hears me. Hallelujah.
That's not love. Well, that's pure love. Hallelujah. You're cowards. You're afraid to be honest. Hallelujah. My wife and I were talking. We were just talking the other night. I say, honey, I love you because you're me. I love you. I want you to do right. Everything. I do. And the tears began to flow. Hallelujah. I like that part. You hypocrites. You're phony. You're phony as hell. That's where we are. We're pretenders. And we're not excellent pretenders either. Yeah, that's you. Hallelujah. See, love will make you do that. I will greatly rejoice in Yahweh. My nephesh shall be joyful in my Abba. You tell me that life should be, you should be so robust because you're in Yah. That's what he said. This is what the house of Israel should do. That's the reason why we can't do it. I'll show you why. I'll get to that. Why? He said he has labash. He has labash. Yahweh has dress. He has put the clothing. He has clothed me with begat. Now there's something that is powerful about this word begat. Begat. It represents a treacherous, deceitful, wicked garment. And it also represents the garment that is of Siddiq. He said, Yah has clothed me with this garment, with a begat. He has clothed me. This is what he's implying here, because this is one word I want to deal with, the begat. Begat. It deals with treachery and deceit and deception, because I want to show us what we have on. Now he says, Yah has clothed me with the begat of Yahshua. Now we have on a garment, but it's not the salvation of Yah. We have on a false garment. We have on a begat, but it's one of treachery. It's one of deceit. But it's not the begat of Yahshua. It's not the Siddiq of Yah. Why? Because when one has on that garment, one has the fullness of the rejoicing of Yah, and they rejoice greatly. You can't even get that out of Israel. You can't even get that out of Israel. He said, he has, Ya'atz, he has covered me with the robe of Siddiq, the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and the bride adorns herself with jewels. Now that's how Yah has clothed, or the garments, the begat of Israel. It is one that is of Siddiq. The mind has the righteous, for the Siddiq, or the righteousness of Yah, is an everlasting righteousness. And his Torah is his truth. So one must have on the garment of clothes, and the garment of the righteousness, the standards of Yah. He is directed in the Torah of Yah, because it directs him to Yah, that he always clothe and dress him. Little children, that's what Yahshua calls us. Do you have to dress the little children? I've watched Sarai comes, and the left shoe on the right, and the right on the left, and it looks a little clownish. And I can't tell that she did that. You understand? She put those on. It was not the mama. She did that. And so when we dress ourselves, we look like clowns. Come on, Israel. You're denigrating us. The world has denigrated us and made us look worse than nincompoops. So we dress ourselves, we look a mess. You can dress yourself, you can see your hatred, your dissatisfaction. You can see it in the coldness of your expression. You can see it. That's why you gotta rise and shine and give Yah the honor and let him dress you, honey. Mama dressed the little child, she makes sure that the face is washed. And she gets what granny will call the cat matter out of her eyes. She makes sure that. Make sure the little nails are clipped out where it's not caked with filth and dirt. That's what a mother does. But a mammy would do that. Hallelujah. She makes sure the child is clean. There's a motherly tenderness and a care for that. You understand? And that's what the word of Yah is. It mothers us. It tender. It's a tenderness of mercies. And that's what a mother represents. That's why there's nothing greater than an Isha. That's why the enemy has caused the daughters of Zion to go away from the pillar of strength and to act like something that is deranged and out of the mindset of Yahshua. Because you can't listen to the elderly ones that have experienced life and understand things, but we'll listen to some damn ignorant stranger, some punk man, some freak that hate children, that tell you how to raise children, some freak that's never raised children and tell you don't do that. You listen to that, but you will not go to the mother and say, sister, how, what did you do today? I said, bust his ass. I say it that way. I know it may sound derogative, but it's not Israel. I put the rod on him. What did it all do? Get out, boy. Get out of my face. Get out of the house and do something. You're not going to sit on your butt all day, boy. Work. That's right. We don't want to hear that. We don't want no one to tell us those kinds of things. We don't want no one to tell us, sister, something's wrong. Well, what's wrong with me then? You're just wicked and ignorant. You struck a wise man, anything, they become wiser. You say something to a fool, they get upset. Sister, what's your problem? No. What's your problem? You know you. Well, why not just be honest? Why not just say I'm nutty? Why not just say I'm a fruitcake? Why not just say that? You ignorant one. We can't say that. There's the reason why not. Because our hearts are not clothed right. We're not clothed right. It's because we lack a certain garment. I will show you the garment we like, all right? We're not clothed right. Just say, I'm nutty today. I have no problem saying that. I say to my wife, don't bother me. Just like that. I'm not being mean, but just leave me alone. What's wrong? Nothing. I just don't want to be bothered with you. Nobody. I'm nutty. Let me just be fruity for now. I guess I'm the only one that gets fruity, all right? Moody, funny, sometimes up, sometimes down. Dysfunctional. We've been trained wrong. That's why we're dysfunctional. We're fruitcake-ish. We just don't want to be honest enough that I'm this way. But we can always tell when someone else is a fruitcake, can't we? Because you see the reflection of you. Man of integrity say, that's me, huh? Man. When someone confronts me that way, that's one that my heart is broken and open for that one. But the arrogant one, I resist the proud. Yeah, I resist the proud. I resist the proud. I don't want to be around the proud and the arrogant. I want to be around the humble. He give a hava unto the humble. Hallelujah. He says that Yah has clothed. That's how he has dressed me. He has labash. Yah has labash. He has clothed us. And not ourselves. He is the one that clothed Yahshua. In the vesture of Sadiq. Yah did. And he clothed his children. We are the children of Yah. He clothed us. But Babel has taught you something that has been so detrimental to your growth and your health that it is causing death among us. And if there's one that speaks, look at what David says in Tehillim, Psalms 132, verse 9. This is what we need among us. We need this. Deacon Ben reminds us that we think that no one has the Sadiq or the garments of Sadiq on them. But look what David says here in Tehillim. Psalms 132, verse 9. He says, let your Kohan, your Kohem, your priest, he said, they must be clothed. Did he tell us what they must be clothed with? They must be clothed with Sadiqa. They must be Labash. You can't get before the people, Yisrael. We're not clothed with the Sadiq, the righteousness of Yah. The power of His Torah emanating from us. It's the Torah that shapes us. It is the Mishra, the government of Yah, the law of Yah, that shapes our attitude and our mind. That's what shapes us. It shapes our character. shapes our personality. And so let the Kohan, let the priest, let the one that has the divine order of Yah to instruct or to take us to the place of position that we must be, let them be labash, let them be dressed, clothed and tzedek, in the righteousness of Yah. He said, and let your kedoshim, let your elect ones, the people of Yah, shout for ranan, for joy. That it's a joy that you shout because the Ranan says that I have overcome. And the reason you cannot shout with the Ranan of Yah because you have not overcome yourself, you have never overcome your flesh and your own wicked attributes. So when the Kohan teaches and he preaches in the clothing of the vesture of righteousness, he deals with the sins of Israel, then you that are the Kedoshim, you shout with Ranan. Because it is a victorious overcoming, and you know you have overcome, and so the shout is one that is robust. We don't do it because we have not overcome. You have not overcome your own wickedness, your own sin, your own lackadaisy, your own little juvenileness. You have not overcome. The word of Yah is so precise, isn't it? I said, Sue, I talked with one other night. When was that? That day, when did I miss prayer? It was one day. I was talking to one. That was Thursday. I can't remember. One day Thursday. Yeah, Thursday night. And I talked to one until about 10:30. And I really did not even, I couldn't go to sleep because I was so aroused in the speech. Because we were dealing with things, an elderly man, and we were dealing with things, he's an elder, but we were dealing with things that it must be a resolution. You cannot say this, and I say that. There must be a resolution. And the only place we're going to find the resolution is in Scripture. And so he would say things, I say, hold up, elder, I said, hold up for a minute. Let us look at this word you just used. I think you speak from a perspective of things you're certain of, but you're not certain, elder. Let me show you what it means. That's not so. That's not what it means. You apply it to that because you've been trained and taught that way, elder. But that's not so. I say Shaul was taught away, but he had to become unlearned to learn the way of Yah. And you must become unlearned. And there are those because I study words. I study every word because every word of Yah is pure. Is that not so? Then why is that important to us? Why is that important to us? Why don't we try to get the logist of what that's said? Even if we just grapple with just that one verse. Let the Kedoshim, the elect of Yah, run on. It is a cry. It is one that is loud, and that's what it means. The Ranan. It is the cry of victorious, overcoming, powerful victory. It is a cry like no other cry. Because you have a Kohan that speaks, he is clothed, he is labash, he is clothed, he is wrapped. He is wrapped. His loins, his skirt, is the wrappings of the integrity of Yah. And that's why you shout. Why? Because he exposed the things in us that no one knows but Yah. That's why. And that thing that you've hidden, and he begins to deal with it. And so we shout, you know that Yah, every son, daughter he receives, he chastens. He scourges. So you know he's scourging you. Because he's talking to you. But listen, our mind has been trained. I know he's talking to me. Were you with honey? Yes, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you, woman. And fruitcake head man, I'm talking to you. Because we are a fruitish people. Say what we will. We act very fruitish. Yes, sir, I'm talking to you, my friend. Don't you understand that this is Yah's hands pulling you out of the depths of death and darkness? And that's the way you respond to him. And so let the Kedoshim run on, rejoice with a victorious sound. That everyone will know that you have the victorious power. Hallelujah. It's like a man getting out of prison. All of a sudden he throws up his hands and says, I'm free. What do you want? I want a McDonald's hamburger. Haven't had one in 30 years. I think about Elder Harvgrove down there in prison. He writes, he's a very bright man. He's been in there all his life. All of his life. Over 30 some years. And only by the mercies of Yah will the man ever walk from the prison house. But he is a very wise man. He is a knowledgeable man. The day he entered prison was the day that Yah revealed unto him. A young man. He's nearly 60. Yah revealed unto him his character, his name. And from that moment, he began to seek the Most High. And he has a profound revelation and understanding of the Torah of Yah. He really, really does, Yisrael. The Torah always points. You know who it points to? That's right. Deacon Benny points to you. Why? Because is it written in your love? Has he not written in Yisrael? So it is always there to correct you. Hallelujah. So we have a Kohan that speaks with the Siddiq of Yah, the righteousness. You know that he is one sent by Yah because it makes your love fat. Because his Torah is written there. His Torah. And so you rejoice with this grandizing rejoicing of overcoming because you have overcome. We must understand in all wisdom is the principal thing. But in all our getting, we need to get understanding. It's an excellent thing to read the scripture and understand what it says. But it's of no power unless you understand, Yisrael, what it says. There's no power. And so we must spend time to understand. We must, Yisrael. That's why so many of us are led astray as we have been led astray. And I'm not leading you astray. You lead your own self astray from the Torah of Yah. You don't give him time. You don't give him energy. I promote that every time I'm here. Take time for Yah. You're sitting there doing what? Nothing. Adorn yourselves in the garments that Yah intends for you to adorn yourselves in, daughters of Zion. You men of Emunah, the garment of strength, the garment of a warrior. You may battle. You stand as a defense. She is the mother of harlots. And a harlot will demasculate a man, take his masculine power away from him. Now, it doesn't have to be a woman. It is the harlotry spirit in his own mind. That removes him from the strength of a man. That removes your shoe as his head. So written in her roshi, her forehead. Mystery Babylon. Mother of harlots. And all abominations. And all filthiness. You never had the sense that you felt so filthy? Alright, that's what an abomination is. You've done something you knew it was filthy and wicked. Hallelujah. All right. You've experienced that. I don't care who you think you are. You've experienced that one. Hallelujah. And the only reason a child doesn't understand it because they do not have the gravity to understand the vile nature of their acts. Because little children can do dirty, filthy, wicked little things. You understand. Hallelujah. Who? Yours. That's who. Now, don't blame that one. That one was a participant just like that one. They can do filthy little wicked things. How do I know? Because I was a child. Hallelujah. He opened all of his great comforts and all of the things that he enjoyed. He makes this statement in the book of Job, Job 29. He speaks of his former comforts. But look, because this is the thing that we regress back to. Was that not what Israel tried to regress back to when he brought them out? We had the flesh pots and the garlic. But this is what Job says in Job chapter 29 verse 14. He says, I put on, or I labash, I dress myself. I will put on the tzaddik. What is the tzaddik or the righteousness of Yah? This is Torah. I will put on, is that what he says in Iyob 29:14? He said, and I will put on. I will labash, I will put on, I will dress, I will wear, I will put on the tzaddik, the righteousness of Yah, and I will clothe, I will labash, and it will clothe me. My mishpat, my judgment, my ordinance was as a robe and a diadem. Do you all hear that? We didn't hear it. He says that I will dress, I will labash, I will put on the strength and the beauty of the Torah of Yah. That's what he says. My mind shall be clothed. A man that says he loves Yah, keeps not his commandments, he is a liar. That's what it says. He is a shekah. I don't care what anyone says. He's a liar. There's only one way we come to Yah. Only one way. He has sent forth his son. We believe this false love, this deception of the Christo is wrong, Israel. We have been led down an error path, myself, you, and all. But Yah, he calls us all to repent now. He calls us to repent. He says, I will abash, I will dress myself, I will wear the righteousness, the tzaddik, the Torah of Yah, and I will abash, and it will clothe me. That was what you will see. You will know that my mind is clothed because I speak the Torah of Yah. You will know what's in your mind because of what you speak on. You want to find out what the clothing of anyone, listen to them. You will know what they're clothed with. You'll know what their minds are clothed with, their hearts. You will know. Hallelujah. I will speak of the excellence, the top of Yah. I will talk about the excellence of Yah. That's what I will talk about. Well, what do you talk about? That's what I talk about. I'm not an expert in anything, but I talk about that. Because everything is encompassed in that. I don't care if it's your job, how you do it. I don't care what it is. Your response, the actions of your expression of your countenance, everything, everything. I don't care what it is. I do it as unto Yah. Because He is the final inspector. I don't care what I do. I don't care what it is. Whether I'm putting a post in the ground, I want to work, outwork every brother. I want to make sure, come on here, man. Let's get it done. Because I can look at any job and I know exactly how long it takes. I can look at it. I know exactly how long it takes. I can. And I want y'all to be the final inspector. When I finish, I want to make sure everything is right. And when I finish, even if the job is not complete, when I look at it, I say, that looks nice. I like that. That's the way. Hallelujah. Because we never know when he's coming for the dress rehearsal. So everything we do, I don't care what it is. If it's sweeping, whether it's vacuum, I don't care what it is. Whether it's your home, you found a filthy home, you found someone that is, the spirit is filthy. You find a husband and wife filthy, the husband is more filthy than the wife. Because a pig will, only a pig want to be with a pig. And you find something that is very disingenuous and something corrupt in a woman. I say that. That only offend you that got filthy houses. No, I'm not talking about a tidy house, I'm talking about a clean house. Clean, creating me a clean. There was something clean. We lived in a shack, but it was clean. We had nothing, but it was clean. And I've always been a man of young lads. I made sure my mother's house stayed clean. I hated when you walked in and it was dirty. Mop floor, I would do that. Wash dishes. And I'm one of the best commode cleaners there is. I don't need no brush. I don't care what has dropped in there. It's all the same thing that's dropped in there. I get underneath that thing and I scrub with Ajax. That's why I clean. I get behind it because men do have a problem with locating things behind it. You understand? So I clean all of that. Make sure it's clean. Spotless. The mirror clean and all that. And so when I stand back and say, oh, that's nice. Well, it's going to get dirty. That's all right. I clean it again. That was the kind of young man I was. That's the way I was. I will come to my mother's house and clean it up. It will be spotless. That's the truth, brothers. And I like for things to be orderly and clean. I like for things to be orderly and clean. I like for things to be orderly and clean. Not just clean, but orderly too. Everything in your life has a flow. You walk in a house, there should be a flow. If you walk in the living room and it stinks, the whole house smells like a dog. It's sad, Israel, that that's the condition of our spiritual houses. We hoard trash and covet and hide and put back. That's how we do it. Our corrupt emotions and feelings, we try to hide them from one another instead of confessing. That's how you do it. You confess. Walking in integrity with each other. What I say, if I'm discussing Brother Dave to Deacon Benny, I've already said it to him and other brothers. That's just the way I deal. Hallelujah. And if he comes to me and tell me what he did, I'm going to get him and him and anyone else that were around. And I want to find out, what did he say? Is that how he said? That's not how, what you told me. Hallelujah. Because Yah sees everything and he's watching. That's what the Siddiq of Yah will do. That's what integrity does. That's what the righteousness of Yah. Hallelujah. That's the way we should do it, Yisrael. That's the right way. So we need to Torah rejoice. Listen, let him send us a Kohan. I may not be the one, but send us one, Yah. A man that clothed himself with the Siddiq of Yah. You will know that he's clothed that way. Because the word will cut like a sword. It will identify, will open you up your cavity, open up your mind. And show you things in you that were not even exposed. And show you the hidden secrets of your own darkness. Hallelujah. I say things, listen, Yisrael. If I say something to a brother, it is not to destroy me, this is to strengthen him. If I say something to a sister, if I say this, even if I do it like this, for a sister to dress a certain way, it's not to diminish her character. It is to strengthen her that she doesn't sell herself by her wares. She sells herself by the beauty and the meekness of the sweet Ruach of Yah upon her. It's not her shape, honey, because out there in Hollywood, they got voluptuous. You are in the world to the eye. There are women out there that are very sensual. That's not what brings a husband. That's what now captivates a man. You lose a little weight, honey. You want something on to show your hips off. You don't need that on. Come on, Israel. So that's why I say it. Your beauty is not expressed that way. It's not expressed because you got some tiny titty nippers are showing. That's not beauty. That's lust and insecurity. And I, as a man, if I saw a woman like that, I wouldn't even want to deal with a woman like that. Because I know she's insecure. That's all she got to offer. A woman that is assured of herself, she knows who she is. Come on, Israel. Then when you find a woman like that, a wife like that, you find something that is excellent. You got a favor from Yah. Because the mindset that we've been training, look for the physical attributes. Come on. Then when the man gets or he experiences that, he looks at that and says, it's not what I thought it was. Come on. And you're not what you thought you were, man. That's the truth. There are many women that have been deceived that way and taken. Come on. That is not your shape. And so if you got flat hips like me, cover them. All right. They lumpy and all of that, cover them. I'm not ashamed to say it because I know that's not what I look like. Hallelujah. They're lumpy, lumperish. No word, but I use it. Cradles and all of that. If you don't believe that, just try tighten yours up and see what you got. All right. We're such an ignorant people. I got a buttock. I have hips. You understand? And they're big. And they're lumperish. With dimples. And cradles. And it's flat. So I want to wear things that do not accentuate. Reveal. So you cover yourself. What's wrong with that? We're so immature. What's wrong with that? Tell me. I look like a fool walking around here with my shirt open up down to here. Smooth chest. Come on. So do you, daughters of Zion. Where you go, your impression upon anyone is the beauty. The daughter of the virtuous one, it was her labor, her work, her beauty that men were impressed with. Was it not? He said nothing because she was covered. And she didn't have another tank. She was covered. That's what impressed. Yeah. You understand? Not you being lazy, daughter. Not you being lazy, man. Looking for sleep out.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. It's one thing that Babel has done. It has messed us up, Israel. I'll show you why. I'm getting to it. I'm getting to it. It has messed us up. That's why we got to come out. The daughters of Tizai must be trained by women that are kadosh. And the women that are kadosh cannot be afraid to speak to the young ones. Bring them to me. Why don't y'all bring them to me? Bring them to me. And then the older daughters of Zion don't get with young daughters to be silly and laugh. I hate that in a woman, a silly, stupid woman. I hate it in men too. Do you laugh? Well, sure I laugh, Sister Horn. But this ain't no time to laugh. I ain't got much laughing in me. I really don't. I just don't laugh much. Ain't no time for laughing. Time to be sober, diligent, vigilant about business. So you find an old woman that wants to give a young daughter like this sister and that one, and they're always silly as hell. Something's wrong there. Something is wrong. Always clowning and nothing serious generated from the conversation. She's not teaching them the beauty of daughters. How to be kadosh, just silly and earthly, sensual world thing. That's a twisted-minded woman. I don't care who it is. Her conversation should be complete. It should be kadosh, about the things that are clean, to rear them in the disciplines and the strength of Yah. So when they see her, they admire her. I don't care what the young men say. They can say what they want to. I bring them in the nurture and the fear of Yah. I train them. And that's the way my teaching, everything I do. I don't care what anyone says. They may not understand. Come on, Israel. And so everything I do, I don't care what it is. Oh, I don't wear shades around here to be cool. I wear them because I may be nailing somewhere, hammering. I don't use a hammer without something on my eyes. Because you're hammering on that nail, it'll pop back. I've seen it. I've had them to pop back and hit the shades right there in the thing. Put it out. But this is a generation that doesn't hear. It doesn't hear. You can tell the same one, clean your house up. Your house is filthy. And it's still that way. They clean up today and they think that's enough for 6 months. That's not how it works. Hallelujah. That's not how it goes. Because our minds have been so corrupt by Babel. Our minds are clothed with such foolishness. We don't even like that which is pure. To the pure, all things are pure. We that are defiled and unbelieving, we get angry at pure things. We don't want one to tell us that. We don't want anyone to instruct us in that. Look at this Jenny Lopez Ho, that as far as the world, she's voluptuous. As far as the world is concerned, she is voluptuous. And yet she cannot even maintain three husbands over the course of years. But as far as the world, she's voluptuous. And she wears the shoes high, looking like a fruitcake, the heels, and all of her voluptuous attributes that she thinks she has no character, no personality. And the men that she married, they're nothing but little boys because they are not even stable. I'm showing you an example. So that is not the attractiveness of a daughter of Zion. I'm telling you, even men that are foolish know that. If you look at many of these ball players, you don't see their wives, but they're not what the world calls voluptuous. They're just common, some gals overweight, but they know they're going to take care of the home court. That's right. I've seen some of the wives, I say, Ma, come on. That ain't no nice looking thing, nah. There's not a woman with women what you think out here with heels on that high and thinking she's Philly Fly. They're not. I've seen many of them. I say, wow, this, woo. Ah, she's a big gal. Thin as he is, big gal like that. Well, she had personality. She had something that was greater. They meet women like that all day long with heels on and showing off their hips, flat butts and fat butts and all. They know what they're after. It's that little simple door, that little simple woman that she has some shameness to her. And that one, she ain't after nothing. That's the one right there. Even the world teaches that. Eugenio Lopez, you'll never learn. No more than, what's that hoe's name? Elizabeth Taylor. How many did she have? 6, 7. She's a hoe out of the jungle. She was a hoe. She was a hoe hoe. Elizabeth Taylor was a hoe hoe. Hallelujah. Look at the one they call Marilyn Monroe, the most voluptuous, the most. She looked like a fruitcake head to me. Couldn't even get a husband. Couldn't even hold no husband. Come on, daughters. These old crazy looking women, their heads look deformed. These sissies working in their heads, doing their hair. That's who do their hair. Most of those men are just flat out punks. What man wants to be digging in a woman's hair? Not me. They're nothing but homosexual perverts. That's what they are. Period. They want to look like a woman, so they make them look silly. They have you dressed in that way. That's the truth. You don't want to draw no attention to you. Period. The way you dress. You want to be modest and shamefaced, the daughters. Hallelujah. And if you got big hips, you still don't want nobody looking at them. You got a husband, they're meant for your husband to look at. Hallelujah. All right. So he has clothed us in the garment of Sadiq, and we must put on the garment. Now, that, Eob said that, David said in Tehillim, the way that we should rejoice because of the Kohan and his dress. And turn back again to Yeshaya, Isaiah 59. And then I want to get into, I want to finish up what I started here. He says in Yeshaya 59, this is the garment of Yahshua. And again I say, don't forget the Beketh, the garment, the dress, the Beketh. He says in Yeshaya 59:7, it tells us here, look what it says. For Yahshua, is this not who this is talking about? Yeshaya 59 verse 17. It says, and he put on the labash. He put on the righteousness as a breastplate. And the helmet of salvation was upon his rashi, his head. Is this not Yahshua? Is this not Yahshua? You see what it says he put on? He put on and he put on the Beketh, the garment. He put on the garment of what? Vengeance. Come on and say it. He put on the garment of vengeance for his clothing. That's what he put on. And he clad, and he was clad with a zeal as a covering or as a cloak. Did it not say he put on? Did it not he put on? This is what Yah put on him. Are there things that we must put on, Israel, that we must labash? The scripture tells us what to put on. We put it on everything, but what scripture say put on? Turn quickly. I want to turn here to Colossians. Colossians 3. This is what we must put on. Now, why we don't have this on? Colossians 3:12. Shaul says, he says this, put on. Labash. Is that what he commands us? Yes. Put on. Yes. We know how to put on hatred and lies. Because we are the martyr of Bavel. We have on a garment that is not pure. We are attracted by a garment that is not of Yah. He says, put on, labash. Therefore, as the elect of Yah, are we the elect of Yah? Yes. Are we the elect of Yah? Yes. So he tells us what to labash. Put on, Yisrael, the elect of Yah, kadosh, and beloved, bowels of mercies. Is that what he says? Yes. You tell me you can put on mercies? You can labash, you can dress yourself with the labash, you can labash yourself with the mercies of Yah. We put on coldness and hatred, hardness. He tells us to put on, Yisrael, put on the bowels of mercies, kindness. We don't even know what that is. We get offended when someone does something for us, or someone does something to someone that we think that they should not do. We get offended. This is a juvenile generation. Did he not say labash? Did he not say put on? Is this not what Shaul says put on? We know how to put on hatred. We know how to put on lies. We know how to put on dissimulation. We know how to put on gossiping and busybody. We put that on, don't we? That's the reason why, Israel. But he commands us what to put on. He said, not on that, but being humble. Arah, put on that. Being humble. Being oppressed. Someone does it wrong, humble yourself. Bow down. We put on our undignified ways, don't we? We show someone where we're standing. Hallelujah. We show them our position. He said, put on humbleness of mind. Put on meekness. Put on. Put it on. Put on long suffering. That's what he tells you to put on. He goes on to say, put on forbearing one another. He said, put on forgiving one another. We all hatred and wickedness in our hearts for one another. I'm not slowing down, Israel. Did Shaul address them as San Labash? He said, put on there. Did he not say that? He said, put on, didn't he? He said, put on forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, there's an opposition, there's thought concept against any. You put on your lying, deceitful pride. You get puffed up in your arrogance. And says, then no, it's you, wicked one. It's you man, it's you woman. You all know how to put your shoes on, don't you? Well, you put this on the same way you put your shoes on. He said, put it on. Hallelujah. Labash. You don't remember nothing, you remember Labash. Labash, put it on. Put it on, honey. He said, put it on. Well, I said, no, well, then you put on kindness. Well, she not sweet, but you put on sweetness. She didn't forgive me. You put it on. But Pastor Roberts, what about you? And what about my sons and daughters? You know, Yah says this, that he will curse your sons and daughters down to the third and fourth generation. You better leave that alone. Hallelujah. I'll show you something in Scripture and show you what the word of Yah says. That's what Yah does. He's going to put enmity against the seed of the woman and the seed of Shaitan. So Labash, put on forgiveness. Put it on. Yeah. You walk to a sister, brother, and you know what spirit it is, and say, put on kindness. Tell them, Labash. 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 Put it on, honey. Labash. Put it on. That's what Yahshua did. We got to put it on. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Yahshua forgave him, so you also. He says, and above all, and above all, and above all things, does he say, put on there? Yeah. Labash. Put on Ahava. How did everybody can tell when you put on your wicked ways, your self-undignified ways, your damn pride? He said, put on Ahava above all, say, above all. Well, I got a problem, brother. Above all, David, put on Ahava. Above all. You got on him hard. Yeah, I got on him hard because I love him. Well, he fought you. No, he doesn't fight me. He's stronger than me at all, but he doesn't fight me. Nah. So he says, Labash. Labash. Put it on. Put it on, honey. And above all, Labash, put on love, which is the bond of Miklah. It is the bond. That's what's the bond of perfection. It is the bond. It is what makes you complete. You must put it on. You know how to put on hatred, don't you? You know how to put on segregation. You know how to put on your dislike. Come on, Israel. We've been trained to do that. We're trained to lie. It's an accursed thing. It must come out of the camp. He says in verse 15, he says, and let the shalom of Yah rule. Dominate in your levim, to the which also you are called in one body, and be full of Torah. When you put it on, honey, you'll be full of this. You can tell what you got on. You can tell what you got on. It's almost like a woman. I use the expression, she smells like a French whore. You can smell her a block away. You smell like a French whore. You smell her 30 feet away. So Yah tells us what to put on. Hallelujah. Put it on. Put on kindness and meekness. That's right. Put on appreciation. You should put it on. You don't know how to do it, then put it on. Hallelujah. I know your husband is not expressive, but he knows how to put it on. He does. Hallelujah. Why? Because he knows that this man will do him no harm. And he's done his wife no harm either. He knows that. See, this is a man that just his wisdom teaches him that. Do you understand? Just his wisdom teaches him that. That he has more discernment than those that think they know Yah. He knows that. No way the things that we do he would allow us if he didn't trust us. He trusts. That's one thing. There's a trust there. Do you understand? I know he trusts me because he talks to me about things he won't talk to you about. So he trusts me. Well, what is none of your wicked business? That's your problem. You can do nothing anyway because he trusts me. He trusts me. He does. It's put on. He tells us what the lavash. Now we put on some garments, but they're not right. I want to take us to the book of Yahushua ben Nun, Joshua, chapter 6. And I'm going to close in this. Not here now. It tells us in the book of Yahushua ben Nun, Joshua 6, 7. As I said to us in the Rashi of the mind, written in her forehead, Babel, written. And see, she has written her commands in our foreheads. Yah says he's put them in our lamp and in the inward parts. His Torah, did he not? She has written. That's why we got to remember her order and not have a great delight in the order of Yah. It says here in Yahushua ben Nun, Joshua 6, 7. And this is when Yah commanded Yahushua to take Jericho. This is what he says in verse 17. He says, I want you to go into the city. Verse 17, he said, now when you go in the city shall be a harem. It shall be an accursed city. Not some of it, is what it says. Even what? It. And how much?
All.
And call all that are therein. Listen now. Everything is cursed. He said to Yah, only Rahab, the harlots, only Rahab the harlot shall live. Nothing else. Just Rahab the harlot shall live. And all that are therein or that are with her in the house. Because she hid the messengers that were sent. She hid the messengers. So you should hide the message of Yah that is sent to you. She is the mother of harlots. He said, only Rahab. She was a harlot. I said to the other night, I said, these women are harlots. He said, oh, they're not harlots. I said, they are harlots. I'm not taking that back, elder. Women defy the order of Yah. She's a harlot. Rahab did exactly what they commanded. Only a harlot would go against what Yah says. She knew she was a harlot. And Yah says, I'm going to show you the integrity of Yisrael, that she will be engrafted into the chronological genealogy of Yisrael. He said, only Rahab the harlot will you. I don't want you to touch her. Because she had to go in and close herself. She had to separate herself from the Babylonians and the wicked ways of Jericho. You understand Yisrael? And because of that, he told them, he instructed them what to do to destroy it all. And yet there was one by the name of Achan, which means trouble. And we are troubled by everything, are we not? Everything that's the truth troubles us. Everything that Yah says to us, because we are Achans, we have received of the accursed thing. She troubles me. He troubled me. I'm troubled by that. And so everything troubles us. We're troubled by everyone but us. And so when they went out to the battle of Ai, they were destroyed because there was an accursed thing in the midst. And that's why we cannot rejoice with Ranan. That's why we don't rejoice with victorious power. Because there's an accursed thing in the midst of Israel. There's an accursed thing. And so when, even when Yehoshua prayed, Yah said, get up off your face, man. Stand up. I don't want you to pray for this. You go find the one. Bring him out, everything of him, his house. You destroyed them out of the camp of Israel. Get up off your face crying like a weak thing. There's a time to pray, a time to get up and go to battle. And this is the time of battle. It's enough time for crying and self-absorbing. We're self-absorbed. Says, get up, man. And I want you to do what I commanded you to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it says in the 7th chapter, verse 20 of Yehoshua ben Nun. And when they went to Achan to confront him. Now I want you all to hear this closely. They said to him in verse 20, Yehoshua 7. And Achan answered Yehoshua. Look what he says. And said, indeed, I have sinned against Yah, the sovereign ruler of Israel. And this is what I did. Listen, Israel. This is important, the next verse. He says, when I saw among the spoils, when I saw in the tents, I saw among the plethora of wealth. Look at what he saw. The first thing that his eyes were captivated by. He said, I saw a lovely Babylonian beggar. That's the first thing he saw. It wasn't the gold or the silver. It was the beggar. It was the garment. Is that what it says?
Yes.
Come on, Yisrael. This is important. That's why we miss things. He said, I saw among the spoils. You tell me that there are rubies and pearls, wedges of gold. And the first thing you see is a garment. The first, come on, Yisrael. He said, I saw. And I know what it says in most expression, a goodly. What he was saying, it was a godlike. It was inspired by the gods. I saw a Babylonian, does it say that?
Yes.
I saw a Babylonian. I saw a garment, a begath. I saw a covering, a bavon, a bavel. A garment of deceit and treachery. What of lies and corruption? Because he was corrupt. He wanted to hide his wickedness and sins. He thought he could hide it. And that's what the Babylonian garment does. That's why we love the garments of Babel. We love them. We love for self-absorbing of self-righteousness. I cleaned up over there and I did that. And that's what he saw, Yeshua. It would have been different if the first thing that he saw was the gold. Listen, he saw a lovely, quote, a goodly, unquote, Babylonian, a begath garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. He says, and then a hamad. He said, I took pleasure. I took delight. That's what hamad. He said, I covet. See, that's why Yah said we should not covet. We hamad. He said, I took delight. I want to show us something. He said, I took delight. I took pleasure in the garment. He took pleasure in the garment because the garment changed his whole personality. Can I show us an example of that? You put on something that it creates this thought about you that, come on, when you get fly, don't you, you look at yourself and say, that's all right. Come on, Yisrael.
Hallelujah.
All right. But we don't say that when we put on the Ahava, put on the kindness and meekness of Yah. We get right. We know we're right. It makes you feel well, doesn't it? Come on here. You think you feel it fly? You got on your new shoes and they're sparkling, they're shining. New socks, new everything. Makes you even feel different. He said, I saw the lovely Babylonian garment. And you see, that's what we're looking at. We're looking at the garments that Babel presents unto us. It is a garment of deceit. It is a garment of treachery. And that is what the garment is, because it deceived him. The garment, he saw the garment and it deceived him that he could covet and he could cover his sins with his lust and his greed. And that is what the Babylonian garment does. It causes us to covet us and we think that our wickedness are covered from Yah, but they're not. They're not. Yah saw it. Yehoshua ben Nun didn't see it, but Yah did. He saw it. And we are so consumed with this mindset, this Roshi, this mind of Bavel. She stationed herself in the pinnacle of our thoughts. We see the wicked, we want to look like them and act like them. Come on, Yisrael. Something is wrong with us. Your sons and daughters, they want to look just like the wicked. They want to pretend like the wicked. They want to live in the false illusions and the disillusions of the world. Because you're not laying out the Torah of truth in your home. Minds are captivated with internet and television. That's all it is. Lies, cell phones and text messaging and all of that damn mess. And that dumb is two dumb clown heads. Can't hardly read, can't hardly write, can't hardly spell. The grammar is atrocious. That's what they are. They act dumb, they look dumb, they walk dumb. And that's just the truth, Israel. It is your personal responsibility to give them guidance and to give growth unto your sons and daughters. There's nothing more profound than teaching them to read. And when they learn how to read and they understand the mastery of reading, they will love reading. That's why most of us don't like to read, because you never learn to read. And learn to write. There are times that I'm talking to myself and I say, yeah, I wish I could write it that way or talk that way, because I have a program that you literally talk and it does the typing. Well, I can't talk what my mind thinks. I do much better when I type it out. I have to write it out. It comes out more complete. It is more sound. It has a greater resolution in it. But when I figure that time that I think, I say, oh, I wish I could just say that. I need me a little recorder to speak that. But it doesn't come out the same way. It doesn't. So if you teach them to read and write, and the math or the arithmetic is simply how to teach them to be analytical. And if they read, they can read geography. They can read anything. And they will enjoy it. They will. That's all Yah intend for them. Because if they can read that, they can read any kind of engineering book and tell you what it means. And so they rob you with this false thing, bring your daughters and sons to pollute them, make them whores and drunkards, dogs, little Jezebel gals, flashing their hips and everything else. It's the wickedness in this nation. So he saw the garment above all things. You would have thought he would have saw the riches. What is a rag? If I got the shekels of silver, I can buy the finest of garments. Could I not? Could you do that? But it was the garment. It was the garment. And we see this in a metaphor we see it here. I see it here all the time. As you get the tons of magazines. Because they know where your mind is, whether you have the money or not. They want you to see the garments. And it creates this false illusion. This concept. This thought. And then we began to fashion ourselves like Bavel. Instead of putting on the things that you are. Tells us to put on. It's more to put on. I just want to give us a reference point where that you will go search the scriptures, Yisrael. These are the things we should put on. And so because this man was a troubled, wicked man, he put on the garment of Bavel. It was a Babylonian garment, and that's what we are putting on today. It is the garment of deceit and treachery. I will show us now, Yisrael. I have a few more scriptures. I want you to hear this. I know it's that way because the scripture shows me is that. No, you don't get this by picking up the book, reading 10 minutes and putting it down. It doesn't come that way. This comes from studying and drawing from line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little there. You got to do that. You don't do that, you will never understand. That's why people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. We're destroyed. We got time for laughter and eating, as it was in the day of Noach. So shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying, giving and marrying. That's all we like to do, eat, drink. And we have our companionship. That's all we want to do. Eat, drink. You tell someone you're eating, you get the world coming. You tell someone you're drinking, you get the world coming. That's what we love to do, eat and drink. That's it, Israel. You say what you want to. We love to eat and to drink. Hallelujah. So it says that, hallelujah. He saw the Babylonian garment and he had hamats. He coveted it, or he delighted in it. And then he took them and he said, behold, they are hidden in the earth. Are we not earthly vessels? Do we not hide these garments in the earth? We hide this trash in us and we let it come out in its little subtle ways. He said, I hid it in the earth in the midst of the tent and the silver under it. He put the beautiful garment down, the begath, but it was a garment of deceit, Israel. That is what it was. It was a garment of deceit. That is what the cage, that is what Babylon has become, the habitation of every kind of unclean bird and every kind of unclean spirit. And deceit works in so many different ways, and it functions. It's one of shekar, lies and deception. It's one of delusion and illusions. It's one of distrust and no trust. That's what it is. And this nation teaches you not to trust no one. You think everyone is corrupt as hell because we are corrupt as hell. We think that no one is honest or anyone deals with an integrity because we deal that way. Hallelujah. Only those that you have some confidence in until you have a sense of betrayal. And then you don't even trust them. We are unforgiving people because we don't forget. The wicked can do us like nothing. And we want to appease them. We have opportunity to do well unto the house of Israel. Unto all men do well. But especially Israel. Hallelujah. That's why he tells you to come out. We'll go out our way to the world. We won't offend them. Yeah, you ready for Christmas? We will say, well, ready as I'll ever get. To just void the answering them. I said to my wife the other day, you tell them, no, I don't celebrate it. I don't have to worry about them. They don't ask me no way. Folks, they see me, they tend to kind of, they do. They just back off of him. He looks as though he's got an attitude. I do. Yeah, I got an attitude with this world. Hallelujah. You go to these large cities, everybody, you walk by, look like they got an attitude. They ain't talking. You know, what's up? No, they're not doing that. They're about their business. Get out of my way, man. I got an attitude. Hallelujah. He said, I took them and I hid them. I hid this treacherous deceit. And I covered it. It was my cloak. And so we have allowed this to be our cloak, Israel. That's what Babel has put this cloak on us. We need to be like Eob. That the cloak of righteousness, the zeal of Yah, the covering of Yeshua. We have to be zealous for Yah. We're zealous to do wicked, but to do right. We're not, Israel. He says, I took Hamat, I took pleasure, Odin, in it, and so I chose it. Scripture tells us in Hebrews 11:25, I'm going to read this quickly. It says, Moshe choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of Yah than to enjoy the Odin or the pleasures, the voluptuousness of her the peel of the eye of sin for a season. And that is what the Odin is. The Odin, it is one taking full delight and pleasure in something. And that's what he took. He took delight. It was voluptuous. It was Odin. It was Odin. 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 He took delight in it. And we see the garments of the world, we take delight in that. Oh, that's going to make me look, oh, my. Can't wait to get it on, put it on. That's not of Yah. We need on the cloak of righteousness. That's what we need on. We take pleasure in those things, but we don't take pleasure in the Ahava, putting on the Ahava, or the mercies, the kindness of Yah. We don't take pleasure in putting on love. We don't take pleasure in that. We don't take pleasure in putting on forgiveness. We don't. Have an attitude toward this one, but not that one, because you have a love with dissimulation. It's false. It's not real. It's of hypocrisy. He did not tell you to love your sister, your brother, more than anyone. He said you love your neighbor. That's what he says. That's what the word of Yah says. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. In order for us to have friends, we must show ourselves friendly. So he chose rather to suffer with the people of Yah than to endure the ordeal, to endure the pleasures of sin just for a season. That is not what Achan did. And we are the Achan. We are the ones that are always trouble. We trouble by our brothers and our sisters. And it's one thing to trouble us more than anything. Can I tell us? Will you all hear me? That's correction. The Musa. We're troubled by that. We're troubled. We are troubled by any kind of correction. We don't want nobody to correct us. We're troubled by that. And so we find someone that's just like the Achan we are. And they're going to put on the same garment. The Babylonian garment. You bring to them and say, look at this. Don't you know what Pastor Rob, he said that. So put it on, honey. That's what you're going to do. You're going to put on the same kind of mindset. That's how we do against each other. Anytime you divide a house, it's coming down. Anytime you divide a house, it's coming down. Husband and wife divided is coming down. You can't even overtake the house unless you come in and bind the strong man first. So if you got a weak husband in the house, the enemy is going to come in and bind him. And every kind of filth, every kind of unpure thing is going to generate through the course of that wicked house. You got to bind the man. If he's a weak, lowly, feminine thing, you bind him, you're going to overtake the house. Period. The wife will talk any kind of way. She'll respond any kind of way. She'll do anything. Come on, because he's weak. If he's standing in the streets of Yah, he caused the spirits to be abated at the door. Tell her her sins. And by her Sadiqa righteous living, it reveals every kind of wicked thing in him. Sure does, daughters. He's giving you a scepter strength. It's our damn mouths that bring trouble. It's the quiet answer or the quiet mouth that turns away wrath. It is the truth. Hallelujah. It says in Ezra, listen to this. 2 Ezra 5:4. I want you to hear this. You have the missing books. I'm inspired by what's in it. It says in 2 Ezra 5:40. For unto them saith Nemath and Athariah, that they should not be partakers of the Kadosh thing. Now this is what the Nobi said to Israel and even to the Levites. You cannot be partakers of the things that are pure and clean. Until when? Until there rose up among you an high Kohan clothed in the doctrine and in truth. Did not David say to us that I read in Tehillim, let your Kohan be clothed with the righteousness and let your Kiddushim shout with joy? Did he not say that? So we need a Kohan that is clothed. We cannot even be partakers of the Kadosh things of Yah. You can't even put on the garments of Yah until you have a Kohan that rises in doctrine. He has the legitimacy of the doctrine of Yah and he speaks from the Torah. We've been clothed with so many layers of clothing that we stink. It's almost like someone that has on 3 or 4 or 5 shirts. And you know each layer, it is more grotesque and the stench than the one of the outer layer. 4 or 5 pants of it. And there are people that dress like that, never take them off. And that's what we have. We have layers of this Babylonian garment. And we look at ourselves, we really think we look very nice. We look grotesque, our physical features. Come on, Israel. And so we will not be partakers unto the Kohan and the high priest or the Gadol Kohan, Yeshua HaMashiach, he has arisen. You understand that? So we can be partakers. We can put on the Havaya. We can put on the meat. We can put on the fruit of the Ruach. We can. For he has, as Yokohan looked for one that could take the book that was written on the back and the front side, the inside, out of the hands of Yah. And the Melech said to him, don't be disturbed. For the lion of the tribe of Yehuda, Yahshua, he has risen. And when the power of Yahshua rises in us, we can be partakers of the things that are Kadosh. We can walk in the Kadosh things of Yah. We can walk in the set apartness. We don't set apart ourselves from one another. We set apart ourselves from the mind of Bevel, from the garments of Bevel, and allowed our minds to be clothed with that garment. We allow that because we have the spirit of Akan. We are troubled. Yah troubles us. That's what Yisrael said. He is the one that troubled us. The Nobi of Yah, he troubled us. The man of Yah, the Kohan, he troubles us. He speaks things that cause us trouble. Because he exposes the garments that we are wearing. This garment is not a fleshly garment. It's greater than that. And when our attention is absorbed by our own flesh, we know we have on the Babylonian garment. When Babylon, when the Babylonian deeds and actions are the ones that shape us, we know something is wrong. When we give our sons and daughters, when we give ourselves, our wives, over unto Babylon, we know something is wrong, Israel. We need to get naked. Strip us, Yah, and just make us bare and clothe us. We need to just let go before him in all of our shame. And let Yahweh just strip us and rip everything off of us. And then begin to clothe us. We need that. It will change your whole attitude. You won't be so verbose and hard. You have a clean ruach in you. Hallelujah. And you will know you got a clean spirit, daughters and sons. There's one thing about a clean man. He will help his wife. I say that again. There's one thing about a clean man. He will help his wife. He will assist. He will. He doesn't mind cleaning. I got two little spots in my little shack over there. Well, you may come in my little office down in the lower part and it may smell in there because I do things that cause it to smell. But it's still clean. Everything is orderly. You go look at my closet and nothing, and now it's orderly. Everything is laid out. I may take off this and hang it over here to let it air out so it doesn't incorporate with the other ones. So it doesn't smell. I just let it sit because I wear this again maybe two or three more times. That's how I do it. But it's not junky. Every shoe is in its place. And they're clean too. You find someone nasty because their spirit is nasty. They're clean. They don't love you. I don't care what they say. Hallelujah. We have built a foundation that is one of deceit. Listen to what Enoch says. And I got a few verses. I want to close with these because it's important. He's talking about the mimah, or the deceit, the falsehood, the guile, the subtlety, the treachery of this nation and the world. It says in Enoch 94:6, woe unto those who built oppression and injustice. You tell me this nation is not one that has built oppression and injustice. It is a nation that oppresses the world. It is unjust to other nations. This is America. It is a nation, and we are that way. It oppresses. It is unjust. It says, who lay foundations, not just a foundation, foundations of mirmah, or deceit. They shall soon be demolished, and they shall have no shalom. Now the shalom of Yah is his rest, his comfort. We as Israel, we ought to have shalom. But if we have foundations of mirmah, we have no shalom. I'm happy. I have the yesha of Yah. That's why I can say it. I don't care what anyone says. I am happy. If I die today, I'm dying happy. I will die happy. I'm very happy. I'm ecstatic about Yah. I'm glad that he speaks out of the chronicles of the page, reveals Yahshua to me. I'm happy. I have the yesha. When I rise in the morning, I have much to Torah Yah for. He's giving me a day when my knees may not feel well, but that's all right. I'm still happy. Hallelujah. I don't want what the world has. All the world has is miseries, trouble, and death. Corrupt. I don't want that. I want Yahshua. I want the Shalom of Yah. So when any people or nation, and that is the spirit of Babel, is one of deceit. She has raised up a false prophet. She has raised up this one that Yahkahan saw. She raised up her false Messiah, her false prophet, and she has raised up her own false God. They're all gods and they're all pseudo. Yah hath raised up in the level of Israel the scepter of Sadiq of righteousness. He's raised up his Hamashiach. And listen to this closely. It says here, Revelation. I want to close here with these two last verses. Revelation, Gileana. I'm reading the first last. It says in Gileana 18:2, the Melach, and he cried with a strong voice, saying, Babel, the Gadol, the great, is nafar. She's fallen. She's rotten. She can't get up. She's fallen. Nafar. And she has become the habitation of devils, shadim, and the whole of every foul, corrupt spirit, and cage of every unclean and hateful bird. That's what she's become, Babel. She's become the holding place of every foul, every unclean thing. She has nafal. She's fallen. She's rotten. That is what the nafal is. She's rotten. This nation is rotten to the core. Her principles, her politics, her capitalist system. It is rotten to the core. In order for you to have capital or capitalist system, you must have those that are indentured. You must have those that are indentured. You must have a mass of people that you use, take advantage of, to create your riches. And this is a false illusion. And an illusion. It shall become the cage and holding of every kind of foul, unclean spirit, and every kind of cage bird. Well, Jeremiah talks about what's in the cage. Jeremiah 5:27. This is what is in the cage. This is the garment that caused Achan to defy the Torah of Yah. It says in Jeremiah 5:27, he says, as a cage, a kelap, is full of birds. Jeremiah 5:27. He says the cage is full of birds. Is that what it says in your tongues? He says, so are their houses full of what? Deceit. That's the garment of Babel. It deceives you. So is the house full of deceit. Therefore they are become what? Did he not say that Babylon the Great? Did he not say that Babel the Great in Gileana? So she has become great because she's full of deceit. They have become great and they have wax, ashar, rich. Is this nation not rich? They become so wealthy and rich. They are enshrined with riches. But it is a false pretense of riches. And that is the cage, and this is the holding strength of Babel, her deceit. And we like the garments of deceit. We like to speak lies to ourselves. We like to think that we're something that we are not. We like to pretend with ourselves. That's why Babel teach your children how to pretend. They play and they play. That's what it does. Don't you know, in many countries, the children never get a chance to play because they're working. They're trying to get food to eat. And that's what's in the cage. And that's what we have caged up, this deceit. A cage is to lock something in. And so the cage is our minds. We have locked in these unclean spirits that we have clothed our minds with from Babel. And they're full of deceit. That's why we as Israel, something is wrong. When the spirit of Shekah of lying, it's easy for us to lie and to pretend something is wrong, Israel. I don't care who you are, something is wrong. We cover a sin with a lie, and we know that we are lying. There is something treacherous, wicked there. It is the truth of the matter that makes us free. And we don't want to befriend this country. We want to deal with America with a damn deceitful, lying ways of foundations built upon deceit and lies. She robbed, she stole with deceit and lies. Has she become great? She is the holding of the cage of every unclean and every foul thing. And so we look at her, Babylonian garments and say, I like that. I like those garments. You tell me these men that they call great, these foul faggot men that design clothes for the men and women, and yet people are inspired by them? Now, garments are the garments of Sujik. Hallelujah. That's what I tell your daughters. You all ought to just do it. Just learn how to sew and sew. Make your clothes. Make your husband's clothes. Come on. I feel better in this than the stuff you bought at the store. Oh, I'm dressed to the teal. I'm comfortable. Feels nice. Cheap material. Come on, Israel. All these natural things, they have consequences. That is something that Evangel Hartford taught me many years ago. Brother Roberts, what we see in the natural, they have a spiritual indication. And they all do. We got to stop looking at the Babylonian garments, the begeth, this garment of treachery and lies and deceit. She has become great because her foundations are full of deceit and lies. I close with this one. I must read. It says in Job 15:34-35. It says, the congregation of the hypocrites shall be desolate, and the fire shall consume the tabernacle of bribery. This is the nation of hypocrisy. We bribe. We are part of it. That's why we must come out, Yisrael. Hear me. He said, they conceive mischief and they bring forth vanity. Everything we do is full of emptiness. And their belly cooned, prepare and establish deceit. The bellies of the tabernacle of the hypocrite, it prepares deceit. And that is the spirit of Babel. That is her garment. It is one of deceit. She looked great and she looks mighty, but she has not the strength, the power of Yah. The whores in Hollywood, they look voluptuous, but they are full of raving, beastly bones. The men look like leading men, but they are more effeminate than the women. And that's a fact. So we must take off the garment. If you don't take it off, you're going to die just like Achan. And everything you touch shall die. That's why I just don't allow anyone to touch me. I'm telling you that. When I see a brother in a garment that's wrong, and sister in a garment that's wrong, just go away. I'm not going to allow you to lay hands on me. Lay hands suddenly on no one. You need to put on the garments or labash. Put on kindness. You do it with the world, put it on. There's something how we entreat the world. Oh, hi. Yet with Israel, we cannot do it. No. Folks say to my wife, he doesn't smile. I'll smile with among my brothers. I don't need to smile with you. Hallelujah. Sister Robert says to me, it's amazing. It's just a fact, sister, brothers and sisters. She's amazing how all these women, they just speak, but they really don't speak to me. And they're just watching you. And that's just the truth. I don't, brothers and sisters, I'm saying that this world is wicked. To hell with these wicked women. Would be what I would be looking for, no way. May Yah help us and strengthen us, Yisrael. Give us strength. Labash. Put on. Sisters that are, your houses ain't right. Put on. Put the broom on the floor. Hallelujah. That's what we need to do. May Yah help us. You parents that know what you need to do, you better do it. You that are listening, you know what you need to do. Hallelujah. There's a group called me, contacted me up there in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Said that they moved out of the city to get out in the country. And they had to put the children in school. But I said, you don't really get them out of school. You got substantial finance. Get them out. Don't leave them in there. These schools kill your children. They bring them up in a Babylonian man. Hallelujah. That's what they're going to do. Just like it was under the right of Chancellor Hitler That's what they're doing, brothers and sisters. If you all just took time and realized, I got to get this information. I read it on it before. And I showed what the system we call education system started. I showed exactly where it started and the purpose of it. I'll show you. Or make them smart. Well, if this nation is smart, why send the hell's message in? Look at Mr. Madoff. $50 billion. That's not even the iceberg what he took from the vote. One organization lost every dime. Some folks had $300-$500 million in there. Do I feel sorry for them? Not one bit of any of them. Greedy dogs. They're greedy dogs. They can't have enough. They're greedy. I don't feel sorry for one of them. I read an article that they say Mr. Madoff, he's going to stimulate anti-Semitism. No, it isn't. It is not anti-Semitism. It is what is being run out of the gutters or the belly of what we call the Zionist movement and the place we call Israel. So they have twisted the minds of those folks who call themselves Christians. And this wicked people there that say they are the seed of Abraham. No, they're not. Are there some that sure it is? Are they all? No more than all in America is. You got a corrupt people. And so they play on the sentiment of this wicked nation. And see with these false men like the fat snake Jakes and what is the short diminutive man down there in Hagen and all of these pigs. And if anyone says anything about it, they're killing those Palestinians and starving their little babies and just like hell. I read an article, man, say that Palestine, they use the media well. Well, the media is owned by basically what we call, quote, Jewish men. Murdoch, come on. They own the media. No, they just sell the story. Hallelujah. That's what they do. And so it's controlled by the powers that be that Yah has given them the authority. And he has given them that. Because they're trying to press out Israel. They're trying to find Israel. And he has numbered them as the stars of the heavens and the sands of the sea. If you pick up a bucket of sand and you throw it out there, could you go find one sand? You couldn't find one. The delusion will make you picking up the right one you steal. Do you know how many pieces of granite sand in a bucket? You don't know that. So that's why he's having incorporated Israel and the masses of the numeric people. Come on, brothers and sisters, one sand in a bucket, probably, I don't know. Maybe 10 million pieces of sand. You don't know. Man doesn't. The only thing he do is measure, and through calculation, he can give almost precise what it is. That's why there's a number that no man can number. They want to. If I can ask you a question, if they took you up and there were 10 million people, do you think you can say, "Woo, you're in a helicopter. You got 10 million people, man. That's all you can say, brother. How many do you think it is? If you guess, whoa, I don't know, man. It would stretch from here. It would stretch from here to Mars. It would stretch from here beyond, Marshville, but what is that? Mooresville. 10 million folks? You would not know what it is. You just look at, that looked like a million. Oh, no, that's more than a million. I don't know. That's, that's just. So if y'all said 10 million folks in front of the average person, they wouldn't even know. They couldn't even number them. They could not, sister. So that's what that means. It doesn't mean that there's a number that's not, because anything, if a number can be put to it, it can be put to it. You understand? And there ain't no 100 trillion folks that has been in the world. And we can count the 100 trillion. 100 billion trillion. You understand? So it means more than just that. Someone take you up in a helicopter that 5 million folks, you wouldn't even say, man. Because it would be so massive, you just say, whoa, what? They don't know how many folks are going to be in Washington on the 20th, but they can measure within space. They can tell you how many folks. They say, I know exactly. 500,000 fit there, and that was packed. It was over. It was 600,000 folks there. They don't know the number. And so it's a number that don't make it up. May Yah bless you all. Bless you all that are listening. May the strength of Yah rest upon all Israel. You that are listening, may Yah barak you all on this week. Shalom, Yisrael, Shalom.